think he went to school with Sampson. Did he go?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Brother Dar is trying to make sure I feel right at home. That's something my dad says in church. If you've ever ordered anything from the bookstore in the last 15, maybe 20 years now, and you hear a guy in the background with a New York accent saying, "Kick that dog, brother," that's my dad. All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and while you guys are heading there, I just want to say thank you to this church and to the pastor for having us in. I don't know too many of you guys here, but I know Brother Dar, I know Brother Dudley, met Alex, and a couple of other faces look familiar, although I may not be able to put names to them. So it's always a blessing to come into a church and meet familiar faces, but also get to meet some new folks too. And really, we're part of the same family. Some of us are uglier than others, maybe, but we're all part of the same family, and we've got some things in common. And I don't have to walk into a church and know anybody and still have some common ground, and that's a blessing. And it means a lot to me, you know, being on deputation and seeing a bunch of different churches, different styles, different personalities, different procedures, and you know what? We're all on this book. And we've all got the same Savior. And we've all got the same God, and it's a blessing to be a part of the family of God tonight. I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 6. We'll read some verses here and then try to open up in a word of prayer. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Let's pray. Father, I'm going to come before you tonight, and I'm just going to ask, Lord, that you'd help me out.
Oh God.
You'd wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am not able to minister to these people anything that's going to be worth it, anything that's going to help them, anything that's going to be from you, unless you step in and do something. So I'm asking you tonight, Lord, that you'd please meet with us.
Oh God.
Over your words, you'd help us to get something from your word that'll help. And Father, I know that your word isn't going to return void, and I want to be able to minister it faithfully to these folks here tonight. They want to hear from you, not me. So I ask, Lord, that you'd please wash me in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleanse this place in your blood and help us to hear from you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now we read here in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb in his older years coming to Joshua and asking him for something. He says he wants a mountain. He points to a specific mountain. He says, "I want that mountain." And he says, I'm strong today, just as strong today as I was 40 some odd years ago when you and I were out in the land. And we saw this thing with our own eyes, and we gave a report back to the children of Israel. And we said, hey, this is a good land and a prosperous land. This is Numbers 14. And Caleb and Joshua go to Moses and go to the children of Israel and say, guys, God's given us this place. We got this. Let's go get it. Let's go do what God's told us to do. And 10 other men say, nevertheless, there are giants in the land. Nevertheless, they've got great and high walls and fenced cities, and we can't do this, guys. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. We're weak. And Caleb gets up and he's like, he stills the people. It says in Numbers 14, he stills the people. He says, guys, we got this, okay? God will be with us.
Amen.
Let's not be disobedient. Let's go get in the land like God told us to do. And the people say, why did we even bother leaving Egypt? And they fall back into the same trap and then fail the same test that they have failed continually up to that point. And God says, you know what? Enough is enough, guys. You're going to wander around in this wilderness for 40 years, and every single one of you lousy, complaining children of Israel are going to die in the wilderness. You're going to die in this wilderness because you won't go where God tells you to go. Caleb and Joshua are the only two of that group that made it out. The other 10 were dead right there on the spot. And fast forward 45 years later, this is after the death of Moses. This is after Joshua takes the leadership of the children of Israel. This is after the priests step into the river of Jordan and God dries up the river and over 600,000 men of war march into the land of Canaan. This is after the manna has stopped coming down, and this is after now the children of Israel are starting to eat off of the fruit of the land. And then this is after the 31 kings that were killed in Joshua 13 and in Joshua 12. This is after all the victories. And all, this is after Jericho. This is after Ai. This is after all of those battles. There's plenty of more work to do, but Caleb's like, you know what? I want that mountain. And there, and the Bible says in Numbers 14 that the Caleb had another spirit.
Yeah.
He had a different attitude, a different consistency inside where he just had a drive to him. He had a fortitude to him. He wasn't going to let things stop him. He wasn't going to let the opinion of his peers slow him down.
Amen.
He wasn't going to let the strength of the enemy slow him down.
Amen.
And he wasn't going to let his old age slow him down.
Amen.
And God says that there was another spirit in him, and because of that, I promised some things. And what we see here is Caleb cashing in on those promises.
Amen.
Four times in this passage, he refers to what the Lord said. He says, as the Lord said, as he said, as the Lord hath said. Because Caleb listened to what God had to say and banked his life and his trust on those words. And so I see something in Caleb that I want to see in me. I want to see in my fellow brethren. I see that other spirit. It's got some distinctions to it. It's going to set you apart from this world. It'll probably set you apart from your brethren.
That's right.
And it'll give you some confidence. It'll give you some fortitude to go into the land and get some victories. But you have to be willing to have another spirit. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we're all about having the same spirit, and it ain't the right one.
Amen.
We want to be all together. We want it to be easy. We want it to be comfortable. We want to be relaxed. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to hurt people. And, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody unduly, but folks, this book is a sword, not a pillow.
Amen.
This book is designed to cut. And if you don't use it to cut, the Bible calls you cursed because it says, cursed be he that holdeth back his sword from taking blood. So folks, I'm not saying you go out there and wield this sword willy-nilly without wisdom and without compassion and that you go hacking heads and limbs and, you know, act like one of David's mighty men ready to just, you know, jump into a pit with a lion. But I can say this, guys. You are in a war.
Amen.
And a war requires a fight. And if your Christian life doesn't involve any kind of a fight, you're not being the Christian God wants you to be.
Amen.
So going back to Caleb here, I want to just point out a couple of things, and I'll try to be quick here tonight. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. But I want to point out, first of all, that Caleb, he had a direction. And if you look there in verse 12 in Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. He didn't just go into the land and, you know, close his eyes, hold out a map and say, all right, this is where I want to go. okay, I'm going to, you know, this place. No, he said, I want that mountain, and I want that mountain because God spake of it.
Amen.
This is whereof the Lord spake in that day. He had a specific direction, and that direction comes from the light that God gave him. Look, keep your hand here in Joshua chapter 14. Turn to Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14. And this is the verses that I've been referring to. And this is God talking about Caleb. In Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Now look back in Joshua chapter 14, look what it says here. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. This, Caleb is saying, listen guys, or listen Joshua, God spake of this place. We were there. You saw it, I saw it, and I want that mountain. Something specific, something direct. That direction comes because God said so, not because Caleb thought so.
Amen.
Okay, and that's important. That's important because we as Christians, I think, and maybe this is just my opinion, but I think we have a tendency to kind of make the will of God really foggy,
yeah,
really kind of dark and mystical, like God's got to come down out of the sky in some crazy voice and go, this is where I want you to go. And until he does that, you don't know the will of God for your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think Christians go around their life saying that until God smacks me upside the head with a board with his will on it, I'm not going to go do anything. Now, guys, God is giving you some general marching orders, okay?
Yeah.
You've got plenty in that Bible to chew on to keep you busy if God never gives you any direct instruction. But if you're not following and being faithful in the things that are least, why, number one, is God ever obligated to give you anything more? And number two, if you're not looking for the will of God where God says to look, how are you going to know where it is?
Amen.
It's because whereof the Lord spake in that day. God spoke in some words.
Amen.
And he's given them to you, and he's given them to me. And that's where his will is contained.
Amen.
And I'm not saying you cannot find it in circumstance. And I'm not saying that you can't have clarity and confidence in the will of God with asking, counsel. That's what I'm looking for. Asking for counsel of a preacher. I'm not saying that you throw all those things away. But guys, God's will primarily is found in what he's actually said.
Right.
And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps.
Amen.
Now, in that pledge of allegiance to the Bible, what does it say? I will make thy word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How are you going to get the guidance of your steps and see where you're stepping and know where to step next unless you got the lights on?
Amen.
These are the lights.
Amen.
And if you don't turn it on, it's useless to you.
Right.
You could be a King James independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist and be in the dark because you turned the lamp off.
Right.
You got to open it.
Amen.
You got to listen. And then you got to apply it. Caleb had another spirit in him because he had some direction, because he listened to what God had to say. God said, there's a mountain that I got for you, Caleb. There's some enemies in that land, Caleb. I'll give it to you. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. Why? Because God said so. God gave me some direction. And you know what happens when God gives you direction? Now, I'm going to speak for myself here, and I believe I can speak for those here that have taken a step of faith and followed something specific that the Lord has told them to do. If you've done that, there is a certain level of confidence that comes with surrender to the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about being cocky. I'm not talking about being full of self and thinking, I got this. But there is a certain degree of confidence that comes when you follow, when you're following the will of God. And what I see is Caleb had that confidence. He had determination. Look at verse 11 here in Joshua chapter 14. He says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." He says, you know what? I'm 85 years old and I can still whoop all you youngins. Yeah. He's like, I got this. I can bench press 250 pounds or whatever he can do. I don't know. He can, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound. He was just as strong then as he is now. He's confident. Now, you say, well, that's self-confidence, right? I mean, it's all about him in that one verse. He says, I am strong this day as I was then. I've got strength. I've got power. But look at at the end of verse 12. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Amen. You see, Caleb, sure, he had confidence in himself. He had confidence in abilities because, you know what? This guy's been hacking heads for 5 years. He's been in the land of Canaan. He was besieging Jericho. He was fighting in the ambush at Ai. I mean, he was in all those battles. And he was fighting, and he had confidence in his skill with the sword. He had confidence in his armor. He had confidence in the men that was around him. Sure, he had the strength to take it. But you know what he says? If the Lord is with me, then I can do this. Amen. See, the confidence in the will of God, the determination doesn't come from your own strength. Look at verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He said, you know, yeah, I'm strong. Yeah, I have fought some battles, and I've got the strength to take this mountain, even in my mid-80s. But the Lord kept me alive these 45 years. The Lord was the one that preserved us, man. He was listening to the song of Moses when Moses said, hey, guys, your raiment didn't wax old. Your feet, your shoes didn't fall apart. You were fed these 40 years. He was listening. He said, yeah. Yeah, God took care of us, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You see, he was confident because God gave him direction, and he was confident because he had relied on the times that God had taken care of him in the past. He saw what happened when Israel got out of the will of God and 36 men died on the battlefield by Ai. And then he saw what happens when you get right with God and God gives you the power and the confidence and the direction to fight the battle the right way, and you whoop up on the cities of Ai and Bethel. He saw both sides of it. He saw what happens when a nation turns its back on God and God has to make them pay for 40 years. And he sees what happened when a nation goes and takes that step of faith and watches the Jordan River dry up and they go into the land they were promised. Caleb saw God move, and he trusted him. He heard God speak, and he believed him. And so his determination, his confidence, did not come as a result of some sort of false sense of security or strength. Caleb wasn't looking in the mirror and doing all these, you know, nice poses and looking at his bicep and saying, yeah, I'm 85, but I still got this. He said, I'm 85, and I'm strong, but God was the one that kept me alive through all this.
Amen.
He took care of me.
Yeah.
He fed me. He fought for me. Hey, just a few chapters ahead of time, God was slinging rocks out of heaven, killing his enemies. He had some confidence, guys.
Yeah.
And you and I, you know, I don't care if you've been in the Christian life for, you know, a year or 50 years. You look back on your life and you should be able to see some battles where God stepped in. And even if you're just starting off, look, you've got the times of the past where he's come through. You've got what he said. But if you've been in this for any period of time, you should be able to look back and say, hey, God took care of me there.
Amen.
He fed me there. Got me out of trouble there. And he put up with foolishness right there. He forgave me there. Ain't God faithful? Isn't he good? That should give you some confidence, folks. You know, I can tell you, you're not going to have confidence when you're not doing what God wants you to do. There's a lack of confidence.
Right.
What happens is there's darkness and there's a lack of surety, and you're fumbling around in the dark saying, where's the next step? Because you're not in the light. Because when you're not doing what God says, why is God going to sit there and say, okay, you know, here's the light over here, and you're over there, you know, looking off into the distance. You're not going to have that level of confidence if you're not surrendered to the will of the Lord. Amen. And you're not going to know the will of the Lord until you're listening to what he has to say. And lastly, and I'll be finished up here in just a few minutes, back in verse 12, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Look at verse 14. It says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kesneite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know, he had direction, he had determination, and he had dedication. He was devoted to his God. You know, I don't believe everybody in here is a Caleb. I don't believe everybody in here is a Joshua or a Moses. Some of you are hers that are just helping to hold up the hand. Some of you are just some unnamed troops in the congregation with the simple orders of just march around this city a couple of times. Amen. Well, whatever position, whatever job God has called you to do, there better be some dedication to that position. There better be some dedication to the God who called you to it. Yeah. You see, three times in this passage, it says, Caleb wholly followed the Lord God. Verse 14 is one of them. Verse 9, wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 8, it says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. God himself, in Numbers 14, said the same thing of Caleb. Said, Caleb had a dedication to me, a devotion to me that was from the heart. He wholly followed me, completely, entirely, everything given over, everything given up. When God said, I want you to do this, there was no, but Lord, there was, yes, sir, let's do it. When God said, cut that out, he said, yes, sir. There was no complaints. There was no arguing. There was no remonstration. There was no murmuring and disputing. God said, go, and he went. God said, stop, and he stopped. He wholly followed the Lord his God. And he had that level of devotion for 45 years. This man's 85 years old. And what a testimony, especially to us younger men, when an older man in the Lord has stayed faithful to the Lord for years and years and years. Amen. In spite of the trials, in spite of the troubles, in spite of the fight. Us younger people here today, not just the men, the women too, folks, we need a dedication now. Amen. So when we get into our 60s and our 70s and our 80s, God forbid he tarry that long. But if we do get to that point, we can look back and say, I wholly follow the Lord my God. Amen. That dedication paid off. Amen. Now, I'm not going to get up here and say that if you're real faithful to the Lord and in your old age, he's going to give you a, you know, $1 million home and a $100,000 car. I'm not going to be stupid like that. I believe that a lot of the time, the hard work that's spent in this life isn't going to get paid off till the next.
That's right.
But it's interesting here. Look at verse 14. It's interesting here. It says, and Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Caleb got an inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord as God. Now, does that sound like anything familiar to you? I believe that we're promised an inheritance. We are. We're promised a home in heaven. We're promised rewards. We're promised an inheritance that is conditional on our behavior and on our service. I'm not talking about salvation. That's taken care of. But an inheritance, that's conditional. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll end it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. One very simple, very small verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has entrusted us with some things, and that steward isn't just a steward of the ministry. Verse 1 talks about the mysteries of Christ, the mysteries of God and the mysteries of Christ. So we've been, especially as preachers, we've been given stewardship of some very important things. And we've been stewardship of giving the people of God some precious and deep things. We've been given those as stewards. We've got to take care of those. We've got to be faithful to those things. But every Christian in here has been given something or some things to take care of. You've been given something to hold on to improve, to make better, and you're required to be faithful to it.
Amen.
That's going to take some dedication. And can I say this? That is not going to be dedication to the thing. Caleb did not wholly follow the mission into the land of Canaan. He did not wholly follow Joshua, believe it or not. He wholly followed the Lord his God.
Amen.
And if you're not dedicated to the man who gave you the mission, then the mission will become the your God. And if the mission fails, you fail.
Yeah.
Now look, when you're serving the Lord and the mission fails, you can get up and move on.
Yeah.
You can keep fighting. Even if you drop the ball. Because your dedication and your faithfulness wasn't in the thing that God called you to do. It was in the God who called you to do the thing.
Right. Amen.
So your dedication needs to be found on the man Jesus Christ and being faithful to him.
Amen.
Because faithfulness to what God called you to do is great and all. But that is not dedication, okay? Dedication is to the person and is to what God gave you to do because he gave you to do it regardless of what happens to it.
Yeah. That's good.
Now, folks, if there's anybody in here that's lost, none of this is going to make any sense to you. Because the only thing that you've been entrusted with is your eternal soul. And God has given you one very, very simple choice. Accept my son, and your soul will be saved. Reject my son, and your soul will remain lost and die in your sins and go to a place called hell. Now, I don't know if there's anybody lost in here tonight. But following Joshua and getting in the fight, having a direction from the Lord out of the Word of God and having a determination, having a devotion to the Lord, none of that's going to make any sense to you. Because you're not even following the king in the first place. So I'd urge you to talk to the pastor, talk to one of these men. If you don't know if you, where you're going to go when you die, get it settled tonight.
Amen.
Because none of this other stuff that I just mentioned is really going to mean anything to you. And
right.
Christians, have another spirit.
Amen.
We need some more oddballs in this world, some more people that just don't fit in. Some people that just, they feel weird to the world. That's good.
Amen.
Be weird to the world.
Amen.
Have another spirit and put a smile on God's face.
Amen.
Pastor, would you go ahead and come up?
Amen.
Which